Hallelujah, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. Was the birthday of a king in the little village of Bethlehem. There lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay.
Hallelujah, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas an humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. Hallelujah, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Garner. I tell you one thing, I am impressed with Brother Garner's voice. Did y'all see him get up there and get that high part? I was helping him, because I knew it was coming. And I appreciate all the special music today, the program, the Christmas music. And I just felt, church, that probably since we're having a Christmas program for the kids and probably a lot of Christmas music, that we're just going to stay right along the Christmas theme in the service tonight. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and then we're going to look at some verses in Matthew chapter 2 as well. Would you stand with me? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is where we're going to begin to read. It'll be very familiar to you. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that's twice God has mentioned that that child that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. You know, if God says something one time, that's important. If he says it twice, you better take note. He wanted to make sure there was no question where the Son of God came from. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for for he shall save his people from their sins. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, "For thus is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when he had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." I want you to notice, if you would, a statement right at the end of verse number 13. He says, "And be thou there until I bring thee word." And here's the statement I want you to look at. He says, "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." I want to talk to you tonight and preach to you from these passages of Scripture an attempt to destroy Christmas. An attempt to destroy Christmas. Now, Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have to be in church. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in a free country, where we can open the Word of God up and we can read it, Lord, and we can be under the sound of preaching and teaching from the Bible. Now, we ask that you'd have your way in this service tonight. And Lord, would you stir us up concerning the things of God and this season? And oh, Lord God, when we look into the Scriptures in just a moment, how there has been an onslaught to destroy Christmas among the people of God. Yet it's a failed bit. Lord, it's not been accomplished because of the power of God upon that day and upon what that day and what this time of season means. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, as a grandfather now, you get to sit down and watch Christmas movies with your granddaughter. And this Christmas season, I've seen some good ones and some bad ones. And some of them, you know, you can get into a little bit, but, you know, one of the movies that we watched and I began to think about here is my granddaughter pulled out an old VHS movie called The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And I began to watch it. You got to understand, this is Dr. Seuss. This is way back now. It won't be funny to some of you young whippersnappers today, but as I began to watch that, the Grinch was hell-bent on destroying Christmas. His desire was to steal Christmas. But you know, down there in Whosville, all the little Whos were getting prepared for Christmas and they were singing and rejoicing. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. If you'll see me, I'll get it to you. It's on VHS, okay? And But down in Whosville, all the little Whos, the baby Whos and the daddy Whos and grandma and grandpa Whos were all excited about Christmas. But the Grinch couldn't stand it. It was contrary to who he was and to what he was. Can I say to you today, dear friend, that today in 2010, there is also an all-out campaign to destroy the spirit and purpose of Christmas today? You see, America is the target of these attacks simply because we are the most Christian nation on the earth. See, America invests more dollars than any country on earth in evangelizing, printing the Word of God, sending missionaries around the world. You see, Christians and Christmas have become the problem in the world according to the mainstream public humanists. Did you know today, can I say something to you, whether you know it or not, you know to most of the world, you're a problem. And since we're the problem, and by the way, Christmas presents a problem, their desire is to eliminate Christmas. Their desire is to relegate Christmas to nothing more than a winter holiday. You see, all of a sudden, we Christians and Christmas have become offensive. Simply because we choose to accept the Bible truth and practice what we believe in a free country. May I say to you today that there was a time in America when we were not ashamed to be Christians. There was a time in America where we were not ashamed to say Merry Christmas. There was a time in America where we were not ashamed to be called a Christian nation, regardless of what some say, we're still a Christian nation. See, we used to be proud of Christmas Day, but now we're made to be ashamed and told that we're offensive. Can I say to you, the only people that we're offensive to are God haters. That's who gets offended when you say Merry Christmas. And when you acknowledge Christmas, it's God haters and those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior. And let me tell you something, Christmas was in existence long, long before anybody else started coming from the outside and trying to tell us that, you know what, Christmas is, we're going to relegate it to nothing more than just a winter holiday. No, it's not. It's Christmas! It's the birth of Christ. I'm here to tell you today that Christmas is being exorcised from all public places, including schools and parks and town squares and even stores and manufacturers. Listen, if it wasn't for Christmas, most of these rascals would be out of business. Hey, isn't it amazing? Hey, they have a problem with talking about it. They don't have any problem taking your money, though. Yeah, they don't have any problem you going to the store and holding their hand out and taking your money. Lord, let's don't call it Christmas. All right, then what do you want to call it then? What do you want to call it? Well, let's just call it Happy Holidays. Well, that could be any time, right? We're not talking about just any holiday, my friend. We're talking about the birth of the Son of God. And that's what they're after. They want it eliminated from society. See, most of these stores are telling their employees, hey, we're not going to acknowledge Christmas. We're not going to say Merry Christmas. We're going to say Happy Holidays. And may I say to you, there are some that have changed their policy on that. You know why? Because of us. You say, were you griping? Yeah. I sure was. And you know what? Thank God, there's some things that's worth griping about. And that's one of them. And even some, I go and tell them, they say, Happy Holidays. I say, Merry Christmas. And they'll say, Happy Holidays. I said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, like it's a struggle to say Merry Christmas. Why? Because people have been so programmed to try to eliminate Christmas. You see, the Grinch wasn't the only one trying to destroy Christmas. You see, may I say to you that there's nothing more. What's going on today, this is nothing more than an age-old attempt to destroy Christmas and the acknowledgement of the birth of Jesus Christ to a virgin mother by the name of Mary. Hey, this is nothing new. The greatest attempt to destroy Christmas is not today in 2010. It's been occurring for thousands of years. Yeah. Yeah, there's been an attempt to destroy Christmas for thousands of years. You see, the same spirit existed then that exist today. Yet God has intervened and Christmas has remained alive and well. And matter of fact, come this Saturday, I'm going to celebrate Christmas. And you know why I'm going to celebrate Christmas? Because I'm a Christian. And Christians celebrate Christmas. You know, it's a sad day when we as believers get so caught up in the commercialization of Christmas that it's all about what's under the tree instead of what was on the tree. You see, we lose focus sometimes. We get caught up in everything. You see, there's been an attempt for thousands of years to destroy Christmas. You say, where did it all begin? Well, let's just have a quick run through history just for a few moments for the message tonight. Take your Bible, go back to Genesis chapter 3. Did you know that God promised Christmas? Did y'all know that? Right, I mean, right off the bat, He promised Christmas. Hey, Christmas didn't just start a few years ago. No, it started back with God. Thousands of years ago, He promised that there would be a Christmas day. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Look at what it says. Just shortly after the fall of man, God looking at the one who is behind the desire and the destruction of Christmas. You say, who is it? It's the devil. It's the devil. And can I say to you today, he's using people to try to help his way and help destroy Christmas. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, just shortly after the fall of man, the scripture says, God says, I will put enmity between the devil and the woman, and between thy seed, listen to me now, and her seed. Amazing. You know what that is? That's a promise of Christmas. That's a promise right there of Christmas. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Take your Bible, go if you would, to Genesis chapter 49. Let's see if we're still on track. Genesis 49. Right there off the bat, you know what God promised Satan? He promised that Satan, there is coming a Christmas day. And there's coming a Christmas day, and guess what? You can't do anything about it. Christmas is coming whether you like it or not. And can I say to you folks, if the Lord tarries is coming, come Saturday, it's going to be Christmas whether you like it or not. Hey, that day is set, and it's coming. You see, if you'll remember that Satan is a defeated person. So it's not about winning anymore to him. Right? It's not about winning. He can't win. It's about destroying. And he has tried for thousands of years to destroy Christmas. Genesis 49 and verse number 10. Look if you would there. And let's see if God is still on track here with us, giving us some idea of when that Christmas day is coming. He says, the scepter, the kingdom, the scepter, the power shall not depart from Judah, for a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Write out in your Bible, that's Christmas. Christmas is coming. Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You see, the thing about it is we find down through Scripture God promised Christmas Day, and He just reemphasized there in Genesis 49:10 that Christmas Day is coming. May I remind you, we could move on and go from Scripture to Scripture, but may I remind you that there's been an attempt to destroy Christmas since the very beginning. In the book of Exodus, remember the people of God were taken into captivity by the nation of Egypt. And there, if the divine hand of God had not intervened, the people of God would have been destroyed and the lion destroyed. But you know what? The hand of God got in that thing. Why? Because Christmas Day was coming. That's why. You see, the thing about it is that God preserved His people. Listen, Satan tried to destroy Israel. May I remind you that in the book of Esther as well, there was a devil by the name of Haman. God tried to use him to do what? To destroy Christmas Day. He tried to destroy the people of God. And yet, once again, the divine hand of God intervened. May I remind you that through the book of the Kings, you'll find there that king after king tried to destroy the royal line, and even Satan tried to get in David and destroy him, but he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Matter of fact, Isaiah, turn there if you would to Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Let's see if God's still on track with us and see if Christmas is still going to happen. Look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know that Emmanuel means God with us. Kind of sounds like we're still, everybody still with me? We're still on track now? Has Christmas been destroyed yet? But there's been an attempt to destroy it for thousands of years. And yet here Isaiah said, you know what? It's not going to be destroyed. And he continues on. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Everybody still with me? We still on track for Christmas? All right, Christmas still on track, right? That means we're looking for it. Many of us are anticipating Saturday, Christmas Day. Can I say to you, we're still on track in Isaiah, right? Still getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Hadn't been destroyed yet. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Look at this. We're going to find out if God's still on track here with us and giving us some idea if Christmas is still going to be celebrated. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. You know what that is, folks? That's Christmas. He said, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from... Does your King James Bible say everlasting? Folks, last time I checked, that can only be one person. That can only be the Son of God. Hey, I'm here to tell you, is Christmas still on? So far, so good, right? Yeah, it's still on. Hadn't been destroyed, but yet there's been an attempt to destroy Christmas for thousands of years. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Luke 1. Go to Luke chapter 1 for just a moment. Luke chapter 1. I hope y'all don't mind me getting the Bible involved tonight. You know, the Bible's got more to say than most of us have to say. So Luke chapter 1, we're just going to read it, all right? Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Now, folks, as you're turning there, listen carefully now. Everything now has funneled down. And the fullness of time has now come. God sent forth His Son. And you know what the Bible says? Made of a woman. You know why? Because the seed came from the Holy Ghost. It was conceived of the Holy Ghost, not of man. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But I want you to notice something that had to happen, lest you read these scriptures and be confused. Do you understand that what we're about to read, God has to come and inform Mary about what's going to happen? She's a human being. Huh? Hey, folks, listen. Yes, it was divine and miraculous conception. But Mary was not sinless. Mary was made of the same human flesh that you and I were made of. So you know what, God, because He's such a good God, because He's such a great God. Oh, by the way, because Christmas has been trying to be destroyed for thousands of years, He met with her and informed her how it was all going to go down. That's how good our God is. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Stop! Are we still on track? Isn't that what Isaiah just told us? All right, we're still on track, right? Looks like Christmas is fixing to happen, right? Hey, he's still on. Hadn't been destroyed yet. He says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I should say so. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, folks, do you want to just think about that just for a second? She found favor with God, that he was going to take that divine seed and place within her. But he had to inform her how it was all going to happen. So that, listen, that human flesh wouldn't rise up, so that human flesh wouldn't get involved and start thinking about all these different things. Look what else happened. When she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Kind of looks like Christmas is fixing to happen, right? Hey, we're still on track. Hadn't been destroyed over thousands of years. And now, you know what? As we anticipate Saturday being that day, can I say to you, now the whole world now is anticipating. Is anticipating now the coming of the Messiah. God has now informed the carrier of the Son of God exactly what was going to happen. Wait a minute now. Mary wasn't the only one involved in this thing. So he comes and informs Mary. Now he's got to inform Joseph about what's going on. And by the way, the reason God had to inform him, because he understood he was going to take it harder than she was. By the way, still human flesh, folks. I don't care what book you read or who tells you on TV that these people got some kind of divine opportunity or got some kind of trump on salvation. No, they didn't. They had to be saved and trust in their own son, just like you did. Just like I did. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look at Matthew chapter 1. So God comes to Mary and informs her of the plan. Why? Because there's been an attempt for thousands of years to destroy Christmas. All right, look if you would, Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Why was he going to do that? Because he didn't understand. So you know what? Because God's good. And because we serve a wonderful God. And since he did not want Joseph to be confused on what was about to happen, guess what he does? He informs him about what's going to happen also. And so he meets with Joseph and he says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So not only did Mary find favor in the eyes of God, so did Joseph. We're talking about two young people that had to be in their life something else in their service for God. You see, most of us couldn't deal with this kind of information. You listen, your brain had come back, cannot compute, cannot. What do you mean I found favor with God? What do you mean this is all going to happen? See, he had to help them to understand because, folks, listen, Christmas was about to happen. And if anybody was going to destroy Christmas, he was going to have to do it quick. So he had to let both parties know, both Mary and Joseph know. Now let's take a look at Joseph's character for a moment. Look down, if you would, in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. That's a man of character right there. That could take that information and follow it to the T like he did. You know, I just wonder if God might be looking for some men with character today. I just wonder if God might be in search of some men that have some character that will take the instruction of the Word of God and follow it to the T. Very little character, unfortunately, today. Well, Mary gives birth to the Son of God. Christmas Day now has been sprung upon us. But may I say to you that the attempt to destroy Christmas is not over yet. Just because the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the attempt to destroy Christmas is still intact. Wise men show up according to Matthew chapter 2. The wise men did not know where Jesus was born. They just came to Herod and informed him, say, listen, we're looking for the Christ child. They didn't know where he was born. They didn't know when Jesus was born. And matter of fact, if you'll look in Matthew chapter 2 and look at verse number look at verse number 3. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet. Stop. What prophet wrote? What prophet are they about to quote? Micah, who already told them about where Christmas was going to take place. And they quoted Micah 5:2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to where? They didn't know where. They were informed by Herod where to go, because he had inquired about where the Christ child would be born. So Herod had to tell them where Jesus was born. Well, the wise men found Jesus, and may I say to you, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 11, they didn't find him in the manger. Let me say that again. It didn't go over very well. They didn't find him in a manger. The scripture says, and when they came into the house. You see, the birth of Christ had already taken place. They showed up sometime after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they came into the house and offered their gifts there. The shepherds were at the manger, not the wise men. And may I say to you that Herod's plot that was set forth by the devil himself to kill the newborn king is sidetracked. And I want you to show you, I want to show you this. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. Now, remember, Herod said, go to Bethlehem, and when you find him, come and tell me so I can come and worship the Christ child also. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Wouldn't go to worship the king. Listen, he was already being used by the hand of Satan. Why? Still trying to destroy Christmas. Trying to destroy Christmas. Matthew 2:12. And being warned of God. Isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit puts some things? He came to those wise men and says, you know what? It would probably be in you fellas' best interest that y'all go home another way if you want to see your families again. And they felt led to obey God. And so they were warned, look at it now, they were warned by God, or being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Now, you know what God did again? Thwarted the plan to destroy Christmas by Grinch Herod. You see, Herod then uses the information. Once he realizes that the wise men have kind of shucked into the side, he uses the information to try to carry out the plan anyway. If you'll remember he asked the wise men about what time the star appeared. You know what he's doing? He's not asking that just to be asking some irrelevant question. He wants information. And he's gathering information. Not only about the time the star appeared, but where he would be born. So Herod's gathered all this information. Why? There's fixing to be one more attempt to destroy Christmas. So Herod takes the information that was provided to him by the wise men. And I want you to look at it, if you would, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Why? Because he already knew that's where it was. That's where the Christmas took place, and in all the coast thereof. Now notice now, from 2 years old under. Stop. Where do you think he got that information from? Why did he start at 2 years? Where did he get the information from? Had to get it from the wise men, right? Hey folks, this isn't rocket scientist or rocket science. All you got to do is read the Bible. That's the reason he started at 2 years, because obviously he inquired of the wise men what time the star appeared. They told him, so you know what? It didn't take somebody that had that didn't know how to add 1 + 1. All he had to do was go back when they told him the star appeared and start from there and go forward. That's the reason he went and began to kill and slay all children. 2 years. 2 years and under. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You see, Christmas has been, there's been an attempt to destroy Christmas for thousands and thousands of years. Now let me finish this up and say this. Why was there an attempt to destroy Christmas? Why did Satan want to destroy Christmas so bad? Well, first of all, can I say that since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Satan already knew that Christmas Day was coming. And he knew that God was up to something when he made the statement to him about Jesus Christ and the coming of the Messiah in Genesis 3:15. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. You see, Satan monitored God's hand in the affairs of men because he didn't know all the details. He just knew Christmas was coming. He just didn't know when it was going to come. He just didn't know how it was going to come. He just didn't know where it was going to come. And so Satan monitored the hand of God in the affairs of men to detect what the plan was and when it would come to pass. And then once Satan detected God's hand plan and beginning to take form, he began to develop his own counterattack. You see, Jesus was the key to God's plan of redemption, friend. Jesus was the key to the entire thing. You eliminate Jesus, you eliminate redemption. You eliminate Jesus, you condemn man to hell forever and ever and ever. Why has there been an attempt for these thousands of years to destroy Christmas? Because Satan, it's not about winning anymore. It's about destroying souls. It's about raking humanity off into hell forever. That's why I wanted to destroy Christmas. You see, Satan used Herod. Satan used Haman. Satan used wicked kings. Satan tried to use even some of the people of God to destroy Christmas. That's the reason Mary and Joseph were informed about what was going on, lest the old flesh get involved. And don't you tell me for 1 second that the old flesh didn't get involved and things began to run through their mind. God protected them. Now, likewise, throughout time, millions of people have lost their lives in Satan's attempt to destroy God's plan of redemption. You see, in Herod's day, babies were killed. Can I say to you that in the days of our forefathers, there were many Christians killed by Rome and religion? And may I say that Christians killed by the multitudes in groups for thousands of years in an attempt to stop God's word from going forth. And folks, if we today as believers keep our head in the sand. Listen, God's already promised. Satan can't win, but he can sure mess a lot of things up and mess your life up in the process. And I'm here to tell you today, there's been an attempt for thousands of years to destroy Christmas. And we, as born-again believers, we're going to have to stand up for what's right, folks. You say, but what if they jump on our case? Then they're just going to have to jump our case. But you know what? Right's right, and wrong's wrong. And Christmas is a sacred day to us. Say, preacher, was Jesus born on December 25th? Probably not. But the thing about it, to have a day where we celebrate the birth of the Son of God, whether it's December the 25th, April the 1st, hey, can I say to you? It's a day. And the whole world acknowledges it. Now listen, they don't like it. But you know what? They just gonna have to get over it. Because you know what? It's Christmas time, and there's been an attempt to destroy it. Folks, we need to stand up. We need to stand up in our day. Because, listen, Christmas, if the world had its way, it wouldn't appear on your calendar next year if they had their way. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say here tonight, say, preacher, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I've been born again. I've been born into the family of God. I want you to slip your hand up way up high. Say, that's me, that's me, that's me, preacher. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I'm glad of it. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right? Wonderful. You can put